Blog Talk Radio.
Be set free, be healed, be made whole at Miracle Temple. Deliver us ministries where miracles happen. Be set free, be healed, be made whole at Miracle Temple. Deliver us ministries at Miracle Temple, where Christ lives in me.
Welcome to Miracle Temple Deliverance Ministry, where miracles happen. Apostle Amanda Walker Bryant wants to make sure you get all that you need through the Word of God. Let us join Apostle Bryant as she teaches the infallible Word of God.
1 Samuel, the 30th chapter, and I will start at verse 6, and I will end at verse 7. 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter, beginning at verse 6. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for his word. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the souls of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? He answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. I want to talk about on today, recover all. Recover all. I know some of us today may be in a place Where we feel like that we have lost everything. We have lost all hope. We're in despair. Seem like everything is coming out against us, coming out against the family. Every which way we turn, there's something going on in our lives. But I'm here to encourage you today that you can recover all. And first of all, what you got to know is when we look at David, and before I went to verse 6, above that it talks about how David and the troops came back to Ziklag. When they came back to Ziklag, they saw that it was burned. They saw that their spoils were gone. They saw that their families was gone, their wives, their sons, and their daughters were gone. And the Bible said that they cried so hard that it was no strength left in them. That means that they was just in despair. They were going through because of what had happened. And it gets to the point here where David is the leader. David is the one that was leading those troops into battle or leading those troops to whatever they were doing. So they were out of the camp. So they were looking to stone David. And the weight was so great upon David. He was oppressed. He was pressed in on every side. I don't know about you, but sometimes you feel like you're pressed in on every side. It feels like there's nowhere to turn, and it seems like nobody is with you. It seems like you're all by yourself. But I'm here to give you some hope today. I'm here to give you some joy in the Lord today, because I'm here to tell you, David said he was pressed. They wanted to stone David. And this is what Paul was saying. Paul was saying when he's troubled on every side, meaning that I'm pressed on every side, just like you press grapes. But he said, I'm not crushed. He knew that he was troubled on every side. He was pressed in, but he was not crushed. He said he was perplexed. He said, I don't know what to do. But he knew, Paul knew that there was still some hope in the Lord. He said, but I'm not in despair. I don't know about you. Have you ever been like Paul? Have you ever been like David? Have you ever feel like you were going to lose your mind? Have you ever feel like you didn't even want to get out of the bed because there was no use? Have you ever just felt like you were so wore down? You're saying, God, I don't know what to do, just like Jehoshaphat. So this is where David was. David was at the point of giving up. You think about, he was the king. He was the one leading the people, and he get back. They get back, and everything that they had was gone. But we give God glory that even though it was gone, they could have killed their families, but they didn't do it. So David was pressed. And this is what we have to do, y'all. Understand that God has provided everything for you. God has given you everything that you need. And he was telling me it's just like surgery. God is the surgeon. He's the great physician. He came in on the inside and done a work in you. And the thing is, you didn't even know the work that he done. See, when a surgeon go on the inside of you, they put you to sleep. You don't know what they're doing. You don't know how they're doing it, but you're putting your trust in them. And then you have to go into recovery. But see, God gave us everything. The Bible says that he has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So everything that we have comes through Christ. It's not through anything that we have done. It's not through anything that we can do even right now. God has already blessed us with everything that we need. I believe last Sunday I went over how God blessed us, because when we look at the Garden of Eden and how it was set up, when he finished creating everything, what did he do with the man? He created the man, but he told him to go in, right? Go into what he had already provided for him. He gave man everything that he knew that man needed. And this is why our dependency should be so much on God and not on man. Because we know that man will fail you, but God will never fail. He said he will never leave you, nor shall he forsake you. He will be with you even until the end. So David, when he was oppressed, when he was vexed, when he felt like he couldn't do anything else, this is what the word of God says David done. The word said he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. See, this is the problem with us. When we get into a place, we forget who we belong to. We forget what God has already done. I wanted here to tell you that God took us out of sin. God rescued us from danger. He brought us into a safe place. God kept us safe. He protected us, because the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So think about this great physician. He went on the inside of us. Once we accepted what Jesus done, he went on the inside in that spirit, and he done a new thing on the inside of us, a new thing that's supposed to be springing forth. It's supposed to be coming forth that people know what God has done. And see, the thing is, when God done this thing, we didn't know what he done. That's why God have to have somebody teaching you. This is why God have to have somebody to let you know the new thing that has happened in your life. That's why you are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have been made new. And that newness comes through your spirit. It is not your soul. Your soul needs to be made new on a daily basis so you can connect to the real you. If you stand in this soulless realm and you're not renewing your mind to who you are now that you're in Christ, you're living just like a lost man. You're living just like a lost person, and the enemy knows that. We got too many Christians that say that they're born again, but they're living lost. And this is not the way that it should be. We should represent who we belong to. When you know who you are and whose you are, that's the start. See, you got to know your new identity now that you're in Christ Jesus. That's the first step. A lot of people are getting born again. They're getting saved. They're getting rescued from danger, but they don't know what they were saved from. They don't know what they have now that they're in Christ. How do I know? Because you're still trying to get stuff outside of Christ. You're still trying to make it work yourself. It's not in you. It is in him. You are his temple. You're the temple that he now dwells. And he wouldn't dwell that temple if you had not accepted what Jesus done, because your life is based on Jesus and not on you. and who you belong to. And if your lifestyle ain't equaling up to that, I see why you're trying to justify yourself. You already been justified. You don't need to justify yourself no more. So see, this is what God is saying today. When you go in surgery in the natural realm, you have to go to pre-op. You have to see the doctor over and over again. They have to test your blood. They have to do all this to make sure everything in your body is functioning the way it's supposed to be functioning. And once they determine that you can undergo this surgery, you got to sign your life away to man. But I'm here to tell you, the day I heard about the great physician, the day I heard about that I didn't have to do anything but accept what he's already done. He ain't looking at how ugly I am. He ain't looking at how contaminated my blood is, y'all. He ain't looking at all that. He said, because I'm going to give you a transfusion. I'm going to give you a new bloodline. I'm going to give you something that's going to make you brand new. And the only thing you got to do is accept. There ain't no conditions on it. And God knows for you, the price has already been paid. He said, paid in full. With great physician, how much do I owe for this? He said, the blood of Jesus took care of everything for you, baby. See, man, you always owe something right down to the penny. Because, see, when I was working and I had to do books for the auditors, man, if I was a penny off, Jennifer, no. They want you to go back and find that penny. It ain't good enough. You need to find out where that penny come from. Why is there still a penny here? I want you, and then you had to go back years and come up to this to research why there was still a penny. But I'm here to tell you, my daddy, he looked beyond my faults, and he saw my needs. He said, baby, even though this is still out there in your future, he said, I'm going to forgive you for past, present, and future sins. And the only thing you have to do is accept what my son has already done. He paid the price. Y'all, we redeemed. That's why the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. See, you don't even need to be saying so if you don't know. See, this is why the Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, knowing the truth is coming through revelation. You can't have head knowledge of the truth. You got to have revelation of the truth, and that's when you get set free. See, I don't care how long you've been saved. Some of us are still living by head knowledge. We're going on what we heard. That's good. But until you apply what you heard, and get it deep-rooted in you, it ain't doing you no good. What do we talk about, them ABCs? You teach ABCs, and you keep teaching ABCs. After a period of time, somebody should know their ABCs. I can say them, but I got something else for you today. But how many can recognize them? You can say them. You can repeat after me all day long. But when they say, show me A, they show you C. That means you sing it along with me. You say you know your ABCs, but you don't actually know them until you can recognize them. See, we got a problem in the body of Christ. You can repeat a scripture that you heard all day long, but until you get revelation behind that scripture, that's just a written word. God said, I want some rhema up in my house. I want some spoken word coming out of your mouth. I want some revelation behind what you heard. We're too quick. We're too quick to grab what somebody say because it make you feel good. The word do supposed to make your baby in you begin to move. But once that baby start moving, it's because the baby made a connection to where it's been. See, you got to understand that when Mary met Elizabeth, and Mary, Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary. She had already been with Jesus. She had already been with the Holy Ghost. So when she heard the voice and the salutation, old John said, that's the one that I got to go before. John began to praise the Lord right there. children, where you been? Because it sounds so good. People know the road that you travel. People know where you been. So look at this, y'all. I'm going somewhere. Y'all know in surgery, after they get through with you, sew you up, whatever they got to do, they roll you into recovery. And guess what, people? You don't even know you've been rolled in. They waiting on you to wake up, right? So guess what? God done a new thing in us. He finished the work through Jesus Christ. But he said your recovery comes through you renewing your mind. Uh-oh. Your recovery comes through getting into the Word of God so you can wake up. Some of you ain't woke up yet. The Bible tells you to wake up unto righteousness. Come out of your stupor. Some of you still in recovery. You ain't woke up yet because you ain't taking the time to get it. Oh, don't tell me you woke up and you still acting a fool. Don't tell me you woke up and you still acting like a poor man. Don't tell me you woke up when you're still begging God for something. You still asleep. Somebody said, well, maybe I should have stayed home today. Well, see, you still ain't awake. Because, see, when you wake up, you recognize that you don't forsake the fellowship coming together with believers to get unified, to get built up in the things of the Lord. So, see, recovery is a time that they watch your vital signs. They watch you to see what you're going to do, to see if you are going to wake up. They want to make sure they didn't give you too much. And when you lay down there too much, they're like, oh, Lord, how much of that did you give them? Because they ain't woke up yet. Why are they still asleep? They should be coming out of that thing. This is what God is saying to us Christian folks. Why are you still asleep after 20 years? Why are you in the same church getting the same thing and you still asleep? Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, what's up? Say, what's happening? Come on, y'all. After a while, change should come. You shouldn't be in the same place you were in last week. Change should come. You shouldn't have to tell nobody about your change. They should see your change, especially if you're a big mouth. They should see you solid. They should see you not opening your mouth when somebody coming at you. They should see that you're not offensive. How should they see it? Because you've been in the Word. The Word is what changed you. The Bible says, my words are spirit and they are life. The flesh don't profit you nothing. So why are we tag teaming with the flesh, people? The flesh can't give you nothing. The flesh can't even please God. That's why he created you spiritual beings. He said, I can't communicate with your flesh. I communicate through the spirit. So look at old David here, y'all. David was the king. They crying together, even the king crying, y'all. Come on, we cry too. He down there crying with the people. Why? He lost his family too. So he crying with the people. They crying till they couldn't cry no more. But finally, the Bible said David encouraged himself. He didn't wait for the people to come over there and say, oh, king, it's going to be all right, oh, king. It's going to be all right, oh, king. We're going to make it. No, the Bible said they want to stone him. They blamed it on David. Why is it that the leader is the one that gets blamed when you follow the leader and you trust in the leader, but when something happens, it's your fault? But you chose to go. Why is it always the pastor's fault because you're still in your mess? Why is it always my fault because you're still in your mess? Why is it always my fault because God is taking me higher and higher and higher, but it's my fault that you're still in the place you're in? your neighbor, why is it always the pastor's fault? I don't hear nothing. See, the devil got to blame somebody. He got to knock somebody. Got to be me. But guess what? David encouraged himself in the Lord. That word encourage means that he drew strength from the Lord. He was made strong in the Lord. David knew, I can't do this. So David began to encourage himself. How do you become strong in the Lord when you're pressed on every side? When you feel like you ain't going to make it, every bill slapping you in the face, your body aching, your family talking about you, your husband turn against you, your wife turn against you, your kids don't want to have nothing to do with you, and you just feel so pressed. David knew. He encouraged himself. How did he do it? I believe David remembered when God delivered him from the paw of the lion and the bear. I believe David remembered when God delivered him from Goliath. I believe David began to get joy in his past victories. So see, when you get pressed like that on every side, you got to begin to thank the Lord. You got to go way back and say, God, I remember when I didn't have a pair of shoes. I remember when you delivered the shoes to my door. God, I remember when I didn't have food on my table. I remember how you brought food to my house. God, I remember when I was so sick, the doctors couldn't find nothing. But I remember you were my healer. I remember God. So you begin to thank him. You begin to praise him and say, God, even though they slay me, God, I'm going to give you praise. God, I'm going to rejoice. And again, I'm going to rejoice. This is why you got to understand that it's not in you. It's in him. So when you start thanking him for what he has yet done, that's what Jehoshaphat did. He had armies coming against him on every side. But this is what he did. He encouraged himself by reminding himself of the victories that was won when it was in Egypt, how God brought him out of Egypt, how he gave him water from a rock, how he gave him manna from heaven, and how he departed the Red Sea, and how they crossed through it, and everybody lived. He remembered. And that's what God wants us to do. You first got to encourage yourself. And then the Bible lets us know, even in Ephesians, it talks about finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. See, that's what David was doing. He was putting his trust and his dependency in the Lord. I like that song, I Will Never Forget, what he's done for me. But see, we forget. You know how we forget? How soon can we forget a victory after that victory was won? Because we just block it out of our mind. Just like the two fish and the five loaves of bread. God fed 5,000, more than that, men and children, and after that, 4,000. But all of a sudden, they forgot. They forgot the goodness of God, just like we forget. But look what happened with David. He encouraged himself in the Lord. But that's why Ephesians says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, putting on the whole armor of God. Why did he say put on the whole armor of God? That's what helps you to be strong. Because when you put on that helmet of salvation, that's renewing your mind, letting you know who you are now that you're in Christ, letting you know what Christ done for you even when you didn't deserve for it to be done. And then when he said you put on that belt of truth, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And then that breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, hold that up. Because once you accept the truth, sanctify me in thy truth. Oh, Lord, thy word is true. Now you can walk in your righteousness, that you're in right standing with God, putting on your shoes of peace. Because everywhere you go, you're proclaiming the gospel of peace. your Savior. He is your Redeemer. He is your salvation. He saved you. You didn't save yourself. Come just as you are. He's coming to seek those that are lost. He is the great physician. So we're putting on those shoes of peace. Then what else is it? The shield of faith. Come on, that shield is blocking the fiery darts of the enemy. You're standing in faith in what he's already done. You got your sword, what? Of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. But I got news for you. Do you know why you don't have protection in the back? Because you don't supposed to turn around and run. You're supposed to face the enemy. That's why you ain't got nothing in the back. Because everything he gave you protects you. So why are you running for him to shoot you in the back? And guess what? The shoes of peace, they had stuff on them where they get dig down in the ground. That means that they ain't moving. They don't have to run. Because it's down in the ground. That's what the soldiers do, y'all. Those things are stuck down in the ground. You get it? Because when you proclaiming the gospel, why are you running? When you know what he's done, why are you running? So he wants us to do all to what? Stand. And when you've done all, stand. So David encouraged himself. But let me tell you about another one, y'all. Go to me to Habakkuk, the third chapter. God showed me this dealing with Habakkuk.
Thank you for tuning in to our broadcast on today. If you have a testimony on how this broadcast has truly blessed your life, please call us at 866-907-6836. If you would like a copy of the teaching in its entirety, you may contact us at 866-907-6836. You may write us at Miracle Temple Deliverance Ministries, Post Office Box 1042, Virgil, North Carolina, 28425. Visit us on the internet at www.mtdm.org.